Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Strigger, and I'm as always joined by Dylan. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Strigger. Hi, people. Hello. So good to be here. Just a couple of days after my birthday.
Yes.
Another year around the globe, and it's very good to talk to you guys for, once again, another point forward. Hopefully a lot of cool stuff happens. I mean, this has already been kind of a newsworthy-ass year, not even a month into it yet. We've got all kinds of stuff that's happened in wrestling, in Japanese wrestling. Now, we're kind of getting into an interesting part now at the end of the month, and knowing what we're going to talk about on the show, I'm very excited to talk about some of these promotions and stuff and get cast the net wide. I think the only way that we could do it in terms of covering the whole gamut. You know, you look at the awards we had a couple weeks ago. Was very happy with them. Want to thank the listeners again for all the votes and cool stuff on that. You know, covered Wrestle Kingdom, covered Okada, and now we're covering some different stuff too. So we got a lot of cool stuff on the way. Hopefully, you guys all enjoy it. Hopefully, you all had a lot of fun watching the wrestling too. You know, and even if it sucks, we will hopefully provide some entertainment for you on this show. And maybe almost therapeutic in a lot of ways.
Hopefully, yeah.
And if you liked it, that's good too. I think there's stuff to like as well. So you could have happiness, sadness. As always, wrestling is a microcosm of life. And thank you guys for joining us along the way for the ride.
Yes, it really is. We would be remiss not to talk about the giant elephant in the wrestling room. Because however you want to stress it, but this past week was not a good week for wrestling. With the trial that got announced, well, the situation around Vince McMahon, the lawsuit, not a trial that was announced, lawsuit. And I said it on Twitter, I really don't have a lot to add to it. It's just everything about it is absolutely disgusting, and it opens up your imagination about what else happened over the last couple of decades in that company. But I want to turn it to the realm that we talk about most here, Japanese pro wrestling. And I said it to you off the air, Dylan. And you said it. Oh, wrestling is a microcosm of life. And so whenever something like this occurs, it is this this situation where you really have to sit down and reflect about pro wrestling as a whole. And it's just human beings that do this sport, and human beings can be shitty. So Japanese pro wrestling, of course, is not some kind of happy island where nothing bad can ever happen. We've had cases where fucked up shit happened in the past, and we've talked about some here on our show, like, for example, the Tatsumi Fujinami situation one or two years back, I think it was. We've had other news drops over the last couple of years. There was a situation where Tomoko Honma was accused of abuse. Taka Michinoku just recently was accused on Twitter by one of his former employees, Tank Nagai, of basically running a dictatorship in Kayentai Dojo. We've had the Hajime Ohara situation. Lots of it. And the learning example for everybody of us just from these situations is don't put anyone on a pedestal. Of course, you will have your idol in pro wrestling. You will have your favorites in pro wrestling. But still, though, they can be humans. And they can be fucked up people to begin with.
What was Fujinami accused of?
Oh, not Fujinami. Oh, I'm so sorry. Not Fujinami. Hase.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, sorry.
I was like, yeah,
terrible,
yeah.
Sorry about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't want to link Fujinami in any of this stuff.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that we know, obviously. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, that's the sad reality we live in, and that's how I've always approached it. The wrestling business, and no, again, not just wrestling. I think it's easy to kind of compartmentalize it into just this one aspect. But really, that's just the life we live, unfortunately, when it comes to people. There's a saying, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's proven very true in our lives. You know, if you want to know, you know, we dig in on Wrestle Update, the latest episode, the Rumble episode. Me and Nello talked about it for an hour, the lawsuit. So we approached it from a lot of different angles and a lot of human angles as well. So, you know, there's a lot there if you want to, if you're more interested in hearing about all that, because we did the best we could in a terrible situation that, you know, not the things you would want to talk about or cover or happen in reality. You know, you'd wish that this would never happen to anybody ever. But unfortunately, there are just bad people, and they utilize power. They find their ways and worm their ways in. You know, and we'll see. Obviously, Japan has a... I always say this when we talked about stuff this sort of in the past before, I always try and emphasize that culturally, we just cannot know everything if we're not Japanese, you know, in terms of how you feel, how you react, your upbringing and all of that, all of these societal factors that we just don't understand. Like, we can't, like, no matter how much we watch wrestling or know people in Japan, which I know a few of, and I like to think that I have a nice grasp of things, but I'm not Japanese at the end of the day. So I think we have to remember that as well when it comes to those cases. And obviously, hopefully, things will be done, you know, to prevent such terrible circumstances, or at least investigate, give people their time, you know, if there are victims and things like that. And hopefully everybody who has that gets their time to share their side of the story. And yeah, it's just a terrible thing that stuff like this happens. And I definitely agree with what you said about not putting anyone on a pedestal in wrestling. I 1,000,000% agree with that. I always have. Like, I've never felt any other way. So hopefully everybody can move through this kind of black period in, you know, in the history of wrestling, and things can get better.
And to one of your talking points that we discussed off the air and that you also brought up on Wrestle Update, this is, of course, hitting mainstream publications in the U.S., and you may be asked by a friend who's not a wrestling fan about this, and of course, it can be unpleasant. It can be uncomfortable to be asked that, but realistically, Dylan, one of your talking points was that it should have been addressed way before. And if people had been talking about that, if media had been discussing the dark sides of wrestling, to quote a very famous documentary about pro wrestling, there would have been stuff that could have come out long ago.
Yeah, and that's really more on the mainstream media itself. I think it's easy to use wrestling media as a target. And that's fair. I mean, like I said, most of the time it's fair to criticize them. I mean, even at the press conference.
Within its own bubble, it is fair, I guess, to criticize, but there is a bigger scale of that.
Yeah, like, it's fair to criticize people at the Royal Rumble press conference, like, sure, for asking goofy questions, like, at that time. Like, that's totally true. But this, if the media in America, and I think this is kind of a westernized issue in a lot of ways, you know, an English-speaking country type of issue, for sure. Why did WWE is the biggest one, so it's the one we would know about most, right? If these reporters and news outlets, whether it's CNN or whatever, if they looked at wrestling as serious, I think we could have gotten to the bottom of this. Like, you know, maybe this could have been at least handled a lot better, because I think the normal range of how the media looks at wrestling, like the mainstream companies, for a long time, it's not as much anymore. I will say that wrestling in general, I guess, is like WWE's got a bit more mainstream in the last few years. But for a long time, the way they approached wrestling topics were treating it like a joke, you know, and not serious. So even if something crazy happened, like very vile or anything like that, because this isn't the first time, there's a million other opportunities and stuff you could look to in the past of terrible things that happened, and they weren't treated with the respect maybe they deserved, outside of maybe like the Benoit situation, which
that would be the one that was the closest. I remember that I was asked by friends what kind of shitty stuff I'm watching, and that was the closest, actually. Yes.
Well, and for the friends, whatever. I mean, the people are going to say what they think. Like, you know, you can't control those people anyway, on a level. But from a media standpoint, I think that you know, that was covered in a way. And a lot of these guys, like these media guys, they just don't know any better. And I think that that makes them, they have their predisposed opinions of wrestling, and that bleeds into other situations, which I think is the wrong answer and the wrong way to hold, to handle delicate situations like this and very serious ones. And it should be covered with the respect and seriousness that it deserves. And I think if the wrestling and not the wrestling media, but the regular media had taken a closer eye to it, instead of just saying it's just wrestling all the time, you might have been able to uncover. I mean, we know that there's a lot there that's been talked about over the years. Maybe they could have uncovered it and brought it to light more or sooner.
Yeah, there was a great point brought up by David Bixenspan actually just this day, a couple of hours before recording. He said, note to mainstream reporters who follow me, working on Vince McMahon / WWE investigative pieces and aren't wrestling fans, appoint the biggest wrestling geek of your colleagues as a reporting partner. He stresses reporting partner. Lack of wrestling knowledge has killed these stories before.
Well, there you go. I think that's a good way to look at it and help people who don't know. And if you just to do that, you just have to approach it with the respect and seriousness that it deserves. I mean, this is not a wrestling story. Ultimately, no. These are human beings we're talking about. These are people's lives that have been irrevocably changed forever by this. This man, allegedly or whatever.
Allegedly, yes, of course.
Yeah, you know, and then, like, you have to treat it with more seriousness, overall, and hopefully they can get there. And like I said, things aren't quite where they were, 10, 20 years ago or whatever, but I hope that the media can finally get on their game and do some things. I mean, we've seen it before, when they do have these press conferences where you'll have people from USA Today or whatever, maybe ask a serious question and hopefully, they treat the situation with respect that it deserves for the victims and everybody involved.
Yes. From here on, I thought it was important just to address it because it's the biggest news story of the week. And of course, a terrible situation. But from here, I would like to take it to our topics that we have for today, Dylan. We are sitting down here to talk about some shows over the weekend, Dragon Gate, All Japan, and DDT. I want to start out with Dragon Gate, actually. Dragon Gate had a show for the first time, actually, in the Yokohama Budokan, drawing a nice crowd of little over 2,000 fans. I think a good crowd for them. They had the Gate of Bayside 2024 show. It was a show that was announced around September or October of last year, and everybody guessed that it would be a show centered around a guy that came back from excursion by the name of Tien Revolution, that Takuma Nishikawa guy, who is from Kanagawa. Of course, he got injured late last year, a couple of matches just into his comeback to Dragon Gate, and he was out for this situation, so they probably had to shuffle around the card. They focused on two other Kanagawa natives, with Strong Machine J and Kai being in the second to last match of the show, and of course they did the Luis Mante and Shun Skywalker match that you and I both thought would be a match that they'd do on Kobe World. And it's not said that they can't do that anymore, but they've done the match this time here. And this show, it felt to me like a real disjointed show. I couldn't really get into the show. I had trouble focusing on some of the matches because it's something that I've brought up in the Cage Match Discord. Dragon Gate has this specific aura around it that, in my opinion, is at its peak when there is an arena where the crowd sits close to the action. Kyoto KBS Hall is great for Dragon Gate. Osaka Eden Arena number 2 is great. Kurikan Hall, when filled, is great for Dragon Gate. But these big arenas like Yokohama Budokan in the setup they used, or other very big halls, in my opinion, are not very suited for the Dragon Gate style and for the Dragon Gate aura. The one example, the one exception of the rule is when they go to Kobe World, because it's such a staple of their touring every year, and they will have a great crowd on hand for Kobe World normally. But this Gate of Bayside show in Yokohama Budokan, I don't think it encapsulated the Dragon Gate spirit.
I think that the company has gone through so many changes. The last, pretty much when Shima and the Stronghearts left, I think the company changed a lot. Shingo did, and for a couple of years they really struggled, actually, to kind of regain their identity back. I think when Ultimo came back, that was a step forward in a lot of ways for the company. Did you see a lot of the young guys they've had come up, and they've really tried to build around these guys recently, like new fresh faces overall, whether it's Yoshioka, Kikuta, Luis Monte now doing it. And you look at the roster, you have somebody like Kai. You know, 10 years ago, it would have been impossible to think of him as a Dragon Gate guy, like in a lot of ways. The whole roster is a lot more varied. There's a lot more variety in terms of styles on Dragon Gate than they were in the past, where it was largely all high-speed Lucha Resu type of matches. But now, they're just at a weird point in their existence, like almost with how they've ran the company, because it just feels like not a lot happens on these shows anymore, more than a stylistic change. Before, again, back in the old days, the peak of Dragon Gate, there were always angles, big in-ring promo segments. You know, there was all kinds of stuff going on all the time. Now in Dragon Gate, it feels like the last year has happened, and we're not really... There's nothing that has changed that much in the past year other than Kikuta's reign, which nothing happened during as well. So it's like, it's a really tough spot with how they run these shows. I don't understand their thinking a lot of times, why they've taken this path to go so just dry on their shows, which is like the opposite of what they were always known for in the past. They were always the colorful promotion. Like,
yeah,
you
lots
know,
of turns to the bad guys. Well, I'm just looking at the Zebrats page on Cage Match, and yeah, we just had Yoshiki Kato joining in November when he turned on Mochizuki Jr., of course. Before that, BB Hulk left in January, but there wasn't anything between that. Natural Vibes has been around in forever, but of course, yeah, they are going to be in the center of one of these situations very soon, we guess. But this group, for example, Natural Vibes, is of course one of the most successful of their units, because they are so beloved by the fans. But they've been so stale. There's nothing that ever happens with them until now. And we've talked about the Luis Monte situation when he went back to Mexico, and it took him a long time to come back. Now he's champion. But ultimately, the situation with Jackie Funky Kamai, to me, is a very good example of where I really don't know what they're doing, because they set this Kamai situation up in Kirkland Hall a couple of weeks ago, when Shun Skywalker faced, who did he face in that match on, he faced Hio. And this match was built to be a match that basically was the same angle as with Jason Lee 2 years ago, when Jason Lee faced the decision which group he wanted to join after Masquerade. But nothing happened, because Kamai just stayed with Natural Vibes and everybody went on again, and Big Hugs just is a tag team and nothing else. And then that's where we are right now.
The flaw of that wasn't that Jackie joined Natural Vibes or rejoined Natural Vibes specifically. It's that they, with Jason, there was this, like, it was a really big storyline. Like, they put everything in the promotion behind this for like a couple of months. And when he finally joined Natural Vibes after the Masquerade scenario, it felt like a huge deal. Like, it felt like a genuine, like, star-making moment when he did it. In this scenario that they've crafted with Jackie, there was no logical reason for him to join Big Hug or Z-Bratz, especially not them. But, like, why would he not do what he did? What he did was the right thing based on the parameters of the story they've crafted. There was not a single logical reason for him to not do what he did. It's just fans made it up in their heads that he would, because it would be more interesting if he left Natural Vibes, pretty much, and we just wanted him out. But the way they formulated the storyline, they should have given him a reason to join Big Hug. But that was never explained on any of their shows, pretty much. But they reacted in a way as if they did. Like, the way that angle worked, where... And your mileage may vary, too, on the hug me stuff as well. Like going that literal in it was a little silly, I thought. But regardless, they reacted in a way... Like, if they had done a good storyline beforehand, that segment would have been awesome because they all performed it really well. It's just they're performing stuff that didn't happen in reality. Like, and using it to base their emotions off of. So why was it such a big deal for Big Hug to get him? We don't know. They never really said why on these shows. Why would Jackie to leave? Nobody knows. Like, nobody said why. But the idea of him joining someone else is interesting to us as fans because, as you said, the current vibes, yes, but really every unit in the company is very stale at the end of the day. Yeah. And they don't have anything. If they're not stale, they don't have anything exciting going on. Let's put it that way. Like, there's not a single unit I would say is interesting on their own in this company right now. And that's a big problem, because that's a big part of what this company was built on, was the unit warfare, and then, like you said, the turns and all that stuff. Like, every iteration of DG, that was a big portion of how they built their shows and built their storylines, and right now it's just cold all around, and it's clear they're trying to rectify that to some extent. To make this pivot towards Z-Bratz versus Vibes, which they had 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. we were building that up for a long time, and then they just pivoted away from it for some reason, and they more or less retconned it. Now they're going back to it years later to get what we thought should have happened probably a few years ago at this point, to get the unit disbands match, and maybe we'll see that have some fireworks for the company, some changes, which they desperately need. But right now, the timing of a lot of stuff was all wrong. It feels like there's pieces of the puzzle that they haven't filled in yet, and they're just expecting us to to accept it as completed.
Yes, so to that situation between Vibes and Z-Bratz, they had the Triangle Gate title match in the semi-main of that show, where Kai, Ishin, and Yoshiki Kato defeated Big Boss Shimizu, KZ, and Strong Machine J with the Meteor Impact Kai from Kai against Jay. Because of the masked Z character that was standing ringside. And they are going to do the rematch just this coming weekend on Sunday, February the 4th, at Memorial Gate in Wakayama, where it's just a slightly different team for Z-Bratz. It's KZ, Shimizu, and Kamai instead of Strong Machine J that challenges UT, nowhere to be seen. Very ominous, of course, and everybody, of course, expects that's him. And that's another thing about the situations. Usually in the past, in these Dragon Gate stable turns, the turn came shocking. But is the UT turn really going to be the one thing that's going to be shocking, or that's going to lead to a new spark? I don't know.
They knew that it was time for big changes in this company, and they knew who to turn to. They are now going to bring us UZ as a new character in front of Z-Bratz. The big change to his career. Much like Hyo, who finally got new gear. That's something I did not like about him for a long time, was that he was still using the Z-Bratz stuff. They finally got him new gear, so thumbs up on that one. I will give them the props. And now UZ, when he takes this mask off, will show that he is not the man who lost in under 2 minutes on this very show that we're talking about in the undercard. He will show that he is a main event level game-changing player.
Yeah, that's another situation, right? With Gianni Valletta coming in.
He's another guy, as I said 10 years ago, this
exactly
wouldn't have happened.
that's who I thought of when you brought up the point. Gianni Valera, who had been in All Japan Pro Wrestling a couple of years ago. Was he in the Champion Carnival even?
Yeah, he got a win over Kento one year.
Oh, sure. Yeah, he was in the Champion Carnival.
I'm not making this up.
No. 2019, he was in the Champion Carnival. Yeah. He's a guy they brought in to be a heater for Zebrats, and everything he did so far was doing squashes on everybody that is a lower card member of the roster. I don't know. Oh, well, he had one eight-man tag alongside Zebrats in Kobe. I don't know if this is working or not. I listened to Open the Voice Gate. They talked about it. They are on very different pages about that. I just fail to make a judgment of this because I don't really know what he's supposed to be even.
He's big.
Yeah.
Like that's literally it. He is a big guy. Like, that's all he's supposed to be. Just big monster guy.
And he squashes all the young guys.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's really... I mean, what else can you do with him, though?
I don't know. I have no clue. No clue what to do with him in the Dragon Gate context. Absolutely not.
Yeah, like that. Like, this is it. Like, this is all he could do. Like, pretty much. And they're doing it.
Do you think he'll be a permanent member of the roster after this tour?
But I mean, at most, if they really want to spin this into something, I think I said something similar to this when it was announced they were bringing him in. If you could just build to him having one match against Luis Amante, like, just a main event, he slays the dragon, you get in a position where Amante faces somebody bigger than him, which is unique for, you know, that's a different kind of opponent. If this is going to be a long reign, you want to spice it up a little bit. You don't want to have him facing the same kind of guys over and over. So if you're going to build Gianni Valera up to have one big title match versus Luis Amante, and he could do it, then I think that's about the best you can hope for. And I guess it makes somewhat logical sense. The problem is that it's not that interesting for me, so sadly, to watch him squash these guys, and let alone go into a major match.
Well, that's the guy. You mentioned Luis Amante. You mentioned Hio. Big Hag has become the focus point of Dragon Gate because, of course, they are holding the two singles titles, the two top singles titles. Of course, the Ovara Gate is still around too. What's your take on Luis Amante as Dream Gate champion after his first defense?
Well, it's still early right now. I think this is another situation where timing may negatively impact this. I think if he were the champion and if they had done what we all thought and built him up to winning the belt at Kobe World, I think I would like him a lot better as champion than right now. Overall, I think the thing with the triple threat really was just mismatched and not that great. To do the Shun match now so early, I think takes a lot off the table in the future, because now if this was really the one feud that they actually have. They haven't done a lot to build it up recently, but it's at least the one match they had that felt like a big deal. But now it's going to be hard, because if you're going to get back to that match at Kobe World, it has to be Shun chasing, which it would have been a lot more ideal if Amante was the one trying to fight his way back to Shun than the other way around. So I don't really understand what they're doing right now with all of this. The match itself was not that great, in my opinion.
It had a very good start. It had a good finish. But everything in between fell really flat.
Yeah, I thought the finish was super flat, personally. Like, just kind of came out of nowhere.
The finish itself was super flat. A couple of minutes before the finish, I thought it was good.
Yeah, they ramped it up. Yeah, I get what you're saying. I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad, but for a title match like that, you would have ideally wanted a bit higher quality. And even the fans, because I think that's the one thing you say about Big Hug, performance-wise or not, the fans have been into Hyo and Luis Mate when it comes to the people in the arenas. But I thought that they didn't ride with the main event, honestly, with Mate and Shun through a lot of it. Like, the crowd wasn't that into it as much as I thought they would be going forward. So, I don't know. Like, so far, I think the booking is so questionable, I can't really judge him as a champion for it because I think there's so much weird stuff going on. I don't like how they're handling it. We'll see what they do with him going forward. But so far, and the Triple Threat had its ups and downs, with the one that he won the title in. But for one match in, we're still early. I'm not passing judgment on a whole title reign after one title defense. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But right now, I definitely think it could have been all handled a lot better than it has been so far. But we'll see if they can rectify that in the coming months.
We'll see how this title reign turns out in the end. And the jury will be out in the end if they've become incapable of booking a Dreamgate title run.
Well, they've tried. And the last two seem like a little bit different than this Mante one. The one with Yoshioka and the one with Kikuta. I mean, they really struggled with Kikuta. I personally liked Yoshioka's title reign. I know a lot of people didn't, but
it had a clear story, at least.
And was pretty successful, like, relatively speaking, for where they were at. Like, they were doing good. They were doing definitely better. Like, that reign was way better than Kikuta's, in my opinion. And with Kikuta's reign, I think it was a huge miss. The Shun reign was really nothing. Like, you know, it was just a bridge to get to Kikuta, pretty much. So, yeah, like, when was the last, would you say? Like I said, I liked Yoshioka's reign, personally.
Yeah, Yoshioka's reign was probably pretty good.
And you had some great matches, at least, which is another reason why I liked it overall. Even if you could have told more stories. But besides that, where would you go for, like, a Dreamgate title reign that was, like, good and memorable?
I'm just looking at Kai's run.
That was good because it set up Yoshioka, but they blew it at the end, like, with the Medora stuff. Like, you know, because that was a good raid until the end. And also, I liked it because it told a clear story, and he was a great champion for that specific role.
I think we might have to go back to PAC.
Yeah, that was a good one, too. I mean, really, all, like, that's the thing. I kind of disagree where you're going about them not knowing how to book a Dreamgate raid. I think they do good most of the time, just the last one sucked. Like, is the problem. And the last one was a long time. And unfortunately, that's what we remember most right now. And right now, they're struggling. Like, with this Mante reign. Like, right now, this reign has not got off to a good start. I don't think anybody would think that. But hopefully...
Shun Skywalker, we've been about this... we've talked about this a couple of months ago. I think back then I said that the Shun Skywalker reign had good matches, but I wouldn't, like, call it a great run.
The first one,
yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that one was cursed. There were multiple injuries, and I didn't think that was a good reign at all, ultimately. But that was like the opposite of the Kai reign, because it ended with great matches at the COVID World with Ender 2. So that's what, like, it ended on a high note. But if you look at the basics of his title reign, there were injuries in two different matches of his. The other one was against Kazuma Sakamoto. So, you know, there's going to be a ceiling to that when you get to it. But the ending was really strong, so I'll give them that. And it led to him turning his... And they reacted to that. That title reign didn't work. And so they changed everything about Shun Skywalker.
Right.
And made him what he is now. Will we see that course correction with Kikuta? Not that you could do what you did with Shun with Kikuta, obviously. But will you see them try to react to these things?
Exactly. And Kikuta, he's just the same guy he was in his title run right now.
Yeah, just in opening matches. It's dead.
So exactly, yes. One other thing about the main event that really bothered me, Dylan, I don't know about you. Like, we have Big Hug. And I get that they have this coloring scheme now that Hyo is wearing white and Mante is wearing black. I understand that, yes. But... for that title match, it completely bothered me that both Shun Skywalker and Luis Mante were in black colors, in complete black colors, because it really didn't fit that Mante is the face champion and Shun Skywalker is the heel champion with both guys wearing the same color scheme.
you want a little different color
yeah.
to it. Especially, you know, when, you know, Luis Monte and Shun both, they both wear the top too. So it's not just like if one guy had a different, you know, was, you know, if Monte took off the top and had a different, just wore different pants, I think maybe that would have been better. But here it's kind of like a mirror match almost.
Yeah, it is. And I think it sounds weird. Like his body strength, his upper body looked more impressive when he was Diamante. And he was wearing, like, mostly the same button up top.
You're telling me he needs to button those buttons back up?
He needs
and it's going
to
make him look stronger?
Unbutton those.
Well, the top few were unbuttoned.
Yeah, the top few.
You want to just unbutton the whole shirt.
Maybe just take off the shirt. I don't know what it is with him.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if he had worn the shirt, I think it would have been a little bit better.
Yeah.
I guess he's... You know, yeah, like, them against each other, I didn't really think about it too much during the match, because I think it's obvious, like, with one guy masked and one not. But when you think about it, what your point is logical, honestly. Like, you could have done something a little bit different. But I think this will be a thing for this match, and maybe not for any others going forward, at least.
Yeah. Hio is quickly becoming the guy that is front and center for Big Hug. Of course, he's the talker of the group because Monte's Japanese isn't really there except for calling Ichiban, I guess.
That's
he
all you
the talker
do.
Of the group, but he is just, he is coming across like the bigger babyface of the two while he is the secondary champion.
So you must have been happy. Voice Gate, they are Hio respectors. Yeah, like I said, Voice Gate are on your side with Hio and Big Hug.
But it's not a good look for the Dreamgate champion.
Well, I mean, you're going to, for that situation and that circumstance, it's going to be tough for him. When, like you said, Hio gets to stand front and center as the mic guy, you know, overall. So that's, he's always going to stand out in that way. And Monte, you know, it's tough in that scenario.
It is tough.
And in a group where it's only two guys. So, you know, either you don't have a gang behind you, you have one guy, like pretty much. So, Big Hug. Again, the fans were into them the whole month, like ever since they formed, like they were really into them. I personally am not a fan of Hio's wrestling at all. Like, I was not changed or swayed at all in this match on this show. But he does have the fans behind him at the end of the day.
Yeah, this was... We, a couple of months ago, we also talked about the Bravegate Championship, and the Bravegate Championship has been where it was for the last couple of years and for the last couple of reigns. This just was a regular Bravegate title match on a Dragon Gate show in the last couple of years.
This is the one they need to prove to me they can book a good reign, like this title.
Right.
Because
You're right.
Because they keep doing the same things, usually with Hio, for some reason. Like, when he was Hio, he was the Bravegate champion for a while, and they went back to him as the babyface. And either way, I don't like this at all, like any of his matches. But it's Kagetora, on the other hand. Like, you're going to be in a mid-card match against Kagetora at the end of the day. So you can't put it all on Hio, but I don't know. It's almost like these title matches are ceremonial. Like, they want the title on him because of him, but they don't want to put any effort into it at all. They just want him to have a spot on the show in a singles match, and they've decided to put the belt on him. And I don't know. But the thing is, even when Jason was champion, who I'm a huge fan of, I think he's a fantastic performer, his matches, and they didn't put any effort into those either. Like, he was always in mid-card, second, third, opener. You know, why can't they do a little bit more with this belt? I don't know, overall. And they are, against status-wise, yes, but in terms of the matches, I mean, it's a mid-card match against Kagetora at the end of the day. So, like, that's where we're at right now with this title. Yep. And it used to not be that way. Like, the Bravegate used to be a great belt. And I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's almost like you could make the point that their best champions are wrestlers that are not from this company. In Kato Kiyomiya and Alejandro.
Right, that was, like, clearly the best match of the show.
Yes, clearly the best match of the show. And maybe they should offer Kaito Kiyomi a Dragon Gate contract because he did great in this match with Jackie and with Jason Lee.
he's a great wrestler. No matter who you put him against, Kaito will deliver in the ring. It's interesting that they, like, for a while there, I know our friend Sandre, he was not happy that Kaito was not bringing the belt around to the Noah New Japan shows. And when I said Alejandro also was not doing that, he was like, I don't care, that's Alejandro. No respect for Alejandro, who was awesome in this match, by the way. Alejandro did great in his own right.
Yep.
I thought he was a great opponent. Like, I wish those guys
could have
gotten...
He's a great fit for the style.
Yeah, he's a natural. Remember when Wrestle One closed down? We were talking about him as a guy that should have went along with his brother as well. Like, Fujimura should have gone there as well. Like, I thought both of those guys are better fits for DG than Noah when you look at it. But Kaito is obviously a little bit of a different style. I thought he worked great. And he's, again, so talented. One of the best in-ring performers in all of wrestling, in my opinion, Kaito is. And proved it once again in this tag title reign. And it looks like they're going to try and do a little bit more with the belts, try and bring them over to Noah a little bit. And I don't know what their plan is going forward with them, but I'm happy. Like, I think they're doing a great job as tag team champions. I think the big goal is obviously going to be them versus Yoshioka and Daya, which they set up before. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Yoshioka had his injury issue. And if they could get to that, I think they could do something really big. Kaito and Yoshioka, I don't think, crossed paths in the N1 last year when Yoshioka was in. So hopefully they can have a big match here, and that would feel like something big, at least for them. And I think the tag titles, great match here. I really thought this was a great match, actually. The Kung Fu Masters came in. Two of my favorite in-ring guys of DG. They had great chemistry together, all of them. And like you said, Alejandro, great fit for the style coming in there. I'm into this tag title reign, this Twin Gate reign. And I can't wait to see what they do next, because I really like both of them. I think Alejandro is opening some people's eyes. Coming in there, Jason, I thought worked great against the Noah guys as well. Jackie's just like, that is the dude, like, to me, when it comes to the DG guys. He is just on a super hot run. I don't know why, because they don't push him very, very much or very well, but he seems to be motivated all over the place here. He is just great, and the finishing run here I thought was fantastic overall, and I thought, the energy from Kamei really made this even better than it already was. I really, really love this match a lot. Great match.
Agreed. And you know why Kaito and Yoshioka didn't face in the N1 victory? Because Kaito wasn't in last year.
Yeah, he was in the G1.
Yeah, he was. Yes, so I guess they will be dropping the belts to the winner of the tag tournament that was announced. Rey de Piraeus is returning this year. Would make sense. And
they announce anybody who's in it?
Not yet, no. And I don't know. They in their own right, they have trouble announcing stuff because
that's a good point.
They have this show on the weekend. They've announced one or two matches. No, one match actually. Yes, one match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the aforementioned Triangle Gate title match between Zebrats and Natural Vibes.
Well, they didn't have to change it too much. They just reutilized they just switched one name off from the match on the show.
It's weird doing this show just one week after you already did a big show.
Who's behind the scenes making these calls?
It's a very good question. Maybe they hired someone from Stardom last year.
That was his landing portion. We're just going to do all big shows over and over.
Yes.
But I think this is like an isolated incident at least.
I guess so.
And they made this, I will say this too, at Gate of Bayside, they did a great job of making this feel like a big deal heading into the show. Like, first time ever, big show in January in Yokohama Budokan. They made a show for this, and they just plopped it right in the middle of their already done schedule. And I mean, next week's show is not a big show when you look at, again, they've only announced one match for it, and it's not that important in the grand scheme of things, probably. So like, they've not made that feel like a big show, for sure, I would say.
But at least they did a really good number. Just looking at the
recent
numbers.
That's what I was saying.
New Japan and G1 Climax show in Yokohama Budokan last year did 2,360, and they just did a little bit above 2,000, so that's good.
But compared to them, Stardom ran this show a couple weeks ago and did half this.
Exactly.
And like I said, it worked for how they built it up and made it effectively feel like a big show, this show here.
One thing on Dragon Gate, they had Prime Zone returning. just the week before Gate of Bayside, and I really was a fan of that show. This is a great setup for the young guys on the roster to get some in-ring time and also to get some promo time. They had Minorita in as one of the interviewers here. That was really funny. And they had a one-night return for Masquerade with Dragon Dyer, Jason Lee, and Kota Minoura going over KZ, UT, and Yamato in the main event, which had Shun Skywalker fuming and tweeting about it while he was on excursion in England. That was a funny bit. Opener with Ishin and Ryoya Tanaka was good. Three-way was funny with Hiyo, Benkei, and Sachiyoko Machine. And also a good tag match, Dragon Kid and Strong Machine J over Big Boss Shimizu and Takashi Yoshida. It's an 18-minute show, so a real easy watch. And you get some real close-up Dragon Gate action. That's really good.
Do they have the subtitles again?
No.
Yeah, because I thought they didn't. Yet. The original version, they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like 10 years ago that started.
Exactly.
It's a crazy, fun show. Kind of like their version of Monday Magic with Noah in some ways.
In some ways it is.
Yeah, not meant to be that serious. Like, it's not like they play it. Like, at least the old version. I haven't watched this new version. But the old one was, like, not that serious. It's like goofy stuff could happen all the time, and it wouldn't even matter. And then the storyline, it's just there for fun, pretty much.
All Japan Pro Wrestling went once again away from Tokyo, just a little bit outside Tokyo, the nearby prefecture. They were in Hachioji for a Triple Crown title match. Katsuhiko Nakajima, in his third defense, defeated Shotaro Ashino in a little bit under 20 minutes with a arm lock, of course, going back to Ashino's injury that he suffered last year in the Champion Carnival. Nakajima is still champion. Was challenged by Rei Saito after the match. Dylan, the main event, what did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was the match of the show. I did a review of the show on patreon.com/EasternLariat, as with all the shows you know we talk about on the show. So the main event, to me, Ashino was excellent in this match because a lot of this match was built upon Nakajima on the offensive and him having to sell the arm. Yeah. Which I thought he did excellently. I know everyone points to the big powerbomb spot where he basically just dumped him on his head. It looked devastating. But you're missing the context if you just only see the GIF, because that was built to because he couldn't use the arm because right. Nakajima had injured it. But if you watch the full match, and it played right in.
There's a situation where he's kneeling on the ground, Ashino is, and he's putting both of his arms down to get himself off the mat. And Nakajima is coming in right away with this huge kick and kicks his arm away, which then leads to this situation.
Yeah, and Ashino was selling it great. He made a lot of Nakajima's offense look even more devastating than it normally is. You got the right hand that he hit him with, that palm strike they're trying to make into a big thing. I love it. The only issue I have with the match in a lot of ways, I thought after the powerbomb, it was so good. It probably looked a lot better than they probably thought it would in their head because it looked so devastating. But I wish that they had gotten to the end of it sooner than they did. I thought they took too much time after the powerbomb to get to the finish. Like, I wish that they would have just went right into the armbar, like have him pin him, do a quick escape into the armbar or something like that. I thought they took a little too much time to get to the point overall, but it was still a great match. Like, you know, minor issue overall. It didn't have like maybe the sizzle of the Kento match, obviously with the storyline and stuff like that. But I thought the steak of it was really good.
I kind of think it had the sizzle because
not from a story standpoint.
You gotta think about Shotaro Ashino, right? For the second time now in his career, Katsuhiko Nakajima is coming in as an invader, basically, to his company. And I thought they set up this, right? Maybe not in storyline built in before the match, but they built up the heat between the two very greatly with this unprecedented gut wrench suplex dump over the top rope, where Ashino just basically told him, fuck off and leave my ring. That was a great setup to the match, in my opinion.
Ashino's awesome. But the thing is, you don't have the emotional story of Kento, like, that's, you know, right. Decades and stuff like that. And
that's something that I've brought up in my comment for the Was of Wrestling match of the year. That is something that you just can't build within a storyline. You just can't build the real heat of two guys coming from the same dojo.
And they didn't really do enough to play off of Wrestle 1 or him being an invader for all kinds of reasons. And this is kind of my issue. Nakajima, I'm still kind of on the fence about the character. Like, I know everybody loves it, but to me, it's so over the top. And, like, this is why I like the first Kento match better than the second one, because that felt real. Like, here was like a character.
I see.
And he's great at it. The videos they're putting on social media are so funny and awesome. And he's such a charismatic guy that it all works. I like it, but I kind of don't like it at the same time, if that makes sense. I don't hate it, but, you know, if you look at each individual part,
it
like,
feels too much like a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Exactly. Like, it's over the top. Like, it's not realistic at the end of the day. And there's fun to be had with that. Like, don't get me wrong. And they're having it. They're doing good. And he's performing it very well. I just wish that it was more toned down and more serious, so to speak, going ahead.
I get it.
I think at this situation, you also have the story of Ashino getting the title match he never got after winning the Champion Carnival. After winning the Champion Carnival last year, we never really were able to get into that because it was, I don't want to say rushed, but it kind of was. Like at the same time, like I think if you had a little bit more time and direct build up to this, because you've had so much going on, whether it was Nakajima and Kento, whether it was Nakajima with the tag titles, whether it was Nakajima and Charlie Dempsey, like we're seeing all this other stuff that he's had to deal with away from Ashino, and it prevented them from really going super deep into what you could have done for them from a story perspective. But from the in-ring, it was great. And I love the booking of the armbar as well.
It was great.
And not only was it great, I love the booking of it. Because if you look at all of the three matches he's had that he's won with it, they're building this armbar up. Each person, and if you notice, Ashino lasted longer in this than Kento did in his match. And they're building it up now to when somebody finally survives this thing, it's going to feel like a big moment, like a star-making moment for somebody when they do survive it. And I think that they're doing a great job of building this finishing move up very well as well in the context of the gimmick. So the gimmick, I'm still a little up and down on. I know a lot of people love it. I like parts of it. There's some parts I wish were toned down a little bit, but for the most part, it's all working right now, regardless of the mastermind or whatever behind this. They are having great matches with him, and I thought this was another strong one. I thought it was a little underrated on Cage Match. I said it on my review.
Me too. I rewatched it just to be sure, and I really loved it.
Yeah, I thought this was a legit great match. I would put it at that, you know, four... a quarter
I
range,
really I said it on Twitter. I mean, the gut wrench suplex was great, the power one was great, and the lariat that Ashino threw at Nakajima 2 was really, really great. So Ashino, he's really back.
Everything Ashino did was great in this match. And even just playing defense in the match, I thought he was great. Even if he wasn't doing high impact moves, I thought his performance and his skill level is so high. It's a shame. The big flaw with this match, and I think why it's got the rating it does, which, it's still good. It's about the same as the Dempsey match. I think they're literally like 2 or 3, like, tenths of a point, like, ahead. I think a big reason that hurt this match to some people, there was no possible way Ashino was going to win this title.
Right.
You know, outside of, you know, if Nakajima no-showed or something somehow, like, that's about the only way. Or, like, a bus drove into the arena and, like, it's in the middle of the match. That's about the only way he could have won the title, because there was no way he could have done it. But he sold himself so well that I thought his performance deserves the praise for it.
Yeah, let's look at that title run, Dylan. This was the second title defense this year. And he's going to face Rei Saito on February 20. Rei Saito, by the way, he defeated Nakajima in this tag title match on the 14th with this Shotei. And the Shotei is now named Icebine, which got a huge pop out of me, of course.
It sounds German.
It is very much German. Another thing.
What does it mean? You can't just leave us on the hook. What does that mean?
Just let me. Another phrase in German could be Haxe. It is a meal. It is basically like piece of pork leg.
Okay, so food based finisher. I'm about this.
Now, and I could totally see that Ray Saito would be a guy that's totally into eating a lot of ham and pork.
Facts.
So that's his finish now. He's using the ice spine as his finish.
I love the ice spine.
Yes. Very good, Dylan. Very good.
So they didn't go on excursion in Europe, though.
No, they went to the US, but maybe Jay Freddy is a big ice spine guy.
Okay. I'm not gonna dismiss it. I'm not gonna hate on the ice spine. We are ice spine respectors on this show.
We can only imagine what Yuka Nakashima brings back when he's coming back to New Japan.
We need more. I strongly believe we need more food-based finishers in wrestling.
Yes.
And I'm glad you were here to set the record straight. You won't get this kind of info on the other shows, folks.
So, Dylan.
Yeah.
The title run. Katsumika Nakajima. We will get the February challenge by Rei Saito. We'll probably get another challenge in March. They usually have a March Kurikan Hall coming up. I haven't checked yet, but they usually do.
Or even then a bigger show at times in March.
Or a bigger show. Let's see. We have a schedule. What's in March? No. Oh, yeah. Oh, they do have. They do have Ottawa on the 30th of
March. Almost every year they do a big March show. Like that,
they
yeah.
do a big March show. They could realistically do two title matches in March again because they have Kurikan on the 9th and Ottawa on the 30th. But they could also do a tag title match in the main event of Kurikan. That is always possible. And then there's the Champion Carnival. So where do you think the Nakajima reign leads?
Yeah, first of all, Ray getting the title shot, I don't like. And I'd be okay with it. Like, just him going for the title is fine. My issue with all this is, and it plays into another match on the show, I thought they really have fumbled a little bit with the momentum they built with Omori. And on this show, he took the fall in the match with Doi and Suzuki in there. And he basically, all of that work they did in the tag league and this whole relationship with Nakajima feels like it just got dropped immediately. Like, it was all a complete waste of time, almost. And it's a shame.
It got dropped in the very moment that Nakajima became this character that he is now.
Yeah, you're right. Like that, you're totally right about that because he wasn't doing that in the tag league.
No,
and it's a shame because the final was him getting the pin like over from a Triple Crown champion, and it felt like, oh hell yeah, like this worked, like this tag team totally worked. He was great in it, and he was awesome in that match too. Hokuto was, and then you look at it and it just. It just went away, and now he's just not doing anything. And it's like it all, like you said, the character change dictated that this would happen, how it did, unfortunately. I wish, instead of Ray getting the title shot, I wish that Omori had played a bigger role into Nakajima taking the fall, and then you could build to a one-on-one match with Hokuto versus Nakajima, because I think you have more storyline oomph in that than Ray, who it's cool that he's getting the title shot. I liked his run in DDT in the singles tournament, but I wish that my main issue is that they dropped the ball with Omori. And I think you had the makings of a really cool title defense against Nakajima, and Omori in the last year when he went against Aoyagi for the title did the best house they had done in that arena. It was a smaller show, obviously, but still a smaller city, but still they did a great job. I thought they booked Omori great throughout the tournament. They had a great story with him and Nakajima, but it just went by the wayside. So I think that's my one big flaw with that. Ray and Nakajima is at least interesting. I don't know how they're going to match up one-on-one, but it's at least an interesting match. And you need fresh challengers. Again, kind of like what we were saying about the DG guys. This is somebody totally new getting the Triple Crown shot. I think that was a strength of Aoyagi's title reign, and they're bringing it here too with Nakajima. So I like it on its own. I don't like that it wasn't Omori that got more of a rub out of all of the months that they worked on him.
Yeah, I get it. I get that. But still, though, Dylan, is there anyone that you can point at that will win the Champion Carnival and could dethrone Nakajima?
Oh, it'll be Kento.
Makes the most sense.
Yeah, I don't think it. I can't imagine it not being him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Maybe go back to Yuma.
Yeah, I was thinking, because Yuma on this show, he faced Hideki Okatani and Konosuke Takeshita with his brother, and he showed some real cool heel tendencies against Takeshita, of all people, just flipping the finger and just brushing off Okatani a bit in this match. He's facing the Saito brothers with Kento Miyahara on the 25th for the tag team title. And I think the direction will be set there. When him and Kento win the tag title, I think it's just for him to be the second place guy once again behind Kento. If they don't, I think there could be a possibility of him at least getting some shine in the Champion Carnival.
Well, I mean, there's just not a lot of options. No. When you look at the Carnival, the All Japan roster right now, they have to build up somebody.
Right.
And he's the best one. So I think he's another one they've really not handled the best coming off of his title reign, to be honest with you. We'll see what they do going ahead with his tag title match ahead. I thought he was fantastic in that tag match. The match itself was not as great as I had hoped it would be, but the parts where he was in was all the great parts. Like, if it was him and Takeshita, that singles match is going to blow the roof off. I cannot wait for them.
It's going to be. I was really high on Okatani in this match, actually. I really liked him. And if All Japan could bring him in regularly, that would be a great benefit to the company. He's a guy that is right now not doing anything in DDT after Eruption disbanded very unceremoniously, I would say.
Well, Yukio's retiring, so.
Yes, but still, though, they could have just disbanded when Saki Akai retired.
Yeah. You know? I didn't think he was that great in this match. He wasn't bad, but I think he's missing something in comparison to Takeshita and Aoyagi. And
he's definitely not there yet. Yeah.
He's good for DDT. You know, in All Japan, he was solid in the tag league. I didn't think he really stood out that much. They were good, but he's not somebody I really looked at and said, he didn't pop for me yet. And I think he'll get that chance now in DDT, though. Now that Yukio's out, I think he's kind of going to be the guy that they point towards. And we'll see what he can do in DDT when he gets a bigger run. Like I said, there's definitely good parts to him there. Good worker, for sure. I'd like to see him take a little bit of a step forward in the overall package and charisma-wise. Maybe teaming with Takeshita, maybe rubbed off on him a little bit. But we'll see what happens in DDT going forward with that.
Tag title, I would say, was solid.
That's what I was going to ask. Where do you think this tag reign is going? Like, this tag title's reign?
Yeah. Earlier today, I was thinking that Nakajima staying longer probably changed some plans for some titles. Mm-hmm. He beat Kento Miyahara for the second time. If that hadn't been the case and Miyahara would have been champion, they could have, of course, done the same match. But now with Kento Miyahara not being champion, Triple Crown champion, that is, I think the title match is much more open. And I could see Kento and Yuma beating the Saito brothers. They've had a good run. And of course, they are also the G-Infinity champions, and they have set up a record-breaking 11 defenses reign up in Great. But I think it could be coming to an end, because they are clearly trying these guys out as singles performers too. They had the singles match on the December show against each other. Rei Saito is getting the title shot against Nakajima. Maybe Jun Saito will follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, they're at, even though they're not wrestler old, they're at a little, like, they started late overall. So they want to get everything they can out of them while they can there, and I can see that. I thought they were going to lose the titles here. I thought New Period had a great chance to win the tag titles. Match was good, a little slower than I thought it would be, to be honest with you. A little bit more lethargic, you know, than I thought it would be. Even down to the referee with Wada. Yeah, but I love the Saitos as a team. They've got great double teamwork, just great aesthetic chemistry. Like, Rei and June would not be as good partnering with anybody else except each other, in my opinion. they're just natural partners, and obviously they're brothers, so it makes perfect sense. But I thought the match could have been a lot better than what it turned out to be, which is still good. Both of the tag matches, as I said, were like good, you know, 7 out of 10 level wreck like type of deal. The singles matches I thought were great on this show. And when it comes to the tag things, if they really wanted to get bold, to go back to the Champion Carnival discussion we were having, I think we need to see the blocks. If Kento and Nakajima were in the same block, you could ideally give Kento a win and maybe open the door for somebody else to win the tournament and go for the title. Somebody like Anzai. That may be a good choice.
Right.
They kept them away from the tag titles here. Maybe they have a singles plan for him faster than maybe we thought.
Maybe they do. The longer that I look at the tag title match, the more I think at least the Champion Carnival finalist could come out of this title match here that we saw. Either of the Saitos, Reyes, of course, getting his title shot. Jun could be one they are looking at. Honda, Anzai, Aoyagi, all possibilities.
I think Honda and Anzai, I can't see the Saitos like winning the block, but we'll see. It depends on how the blocks are laid out at the end of the day. And how good this title defense comes across for Rey. Like, if they come in and this house is way down because they've been up on all of their houses so far, then that could be a measuring stick that they could look at. Which, I mean, I don't think it will, but I'm just saying. We don't know what's going to happen yet, for sure.
Dan Tamura defeated Koji Emoto. 16 minutes was a little long, I thought. I don't think Koji Emoto is suited for matches that go above 12, 13 minutes. He just doesn't have a lot of interesting stuff around him right now.
And what you could argue Tamura is the same, in my opinion.
Where... that's true. He's also better suited with like these 12-minute matches.
Well, I mean, you know, you can only throw so many lariats in a match here.
Right, powerbomb.
And yeah, it's like I said, and this is why I said this on the thing. Like, my issue with these guys, technically, their skill set is really good, like execution-wise. Iwamoto always going for the Kokonai Genjutsu. These guys just need to branch out a little bit more with their move sets, which I thought we saw them elevate by the end with the Vertebreaker and stuff coming in here. And I thought that they had a hell of a match by the end. I thought that these guys
the
really...
The Vertebreaker was a great, great, great move in the match, yes.
Yeah, and that's what they needed. They basically did, they addressed my criticisms before they got to it. You know, before I could make it, pretty much, because I was going to say the same thing as you. But when that happened, I realized, like, oh man, these guys are popping. Like, let's go. And I thought it was a hell of a match.
Yeah, but it was agree. This one moment in the match, right? It's not like it was a match full of high spots or high situations or anything that would get the crowd real emotional into the action.
Yeah, definitely the crowd liked the Lindemann match more than this one overall. But I think wrestling-wise, this was the better match, personally. I'm going to have to go against the crowd. And the inmates, again, I thought this was a little underrated on cage match.
I think I still like the Lindemann match better.
It had the big moment, like, you know, like it felt bigger, obviously. But I just thought the wrestling here was so good. And like you said, maybe not a lot of high spots or anything like that outside of the one big one. But that's all, like, to me, that's a great match. Like, if you build to one great high spot that nobody expected, then that's, you've done your job. That's a great wrestling
that's
match,
fair.
In my opinion,
rather
that's than true. We do 20 big moves and they don't
do
anything.
No, yeah, that's right. That's definitely correct. Yeah, Dan Tamura is facing Fuminori Abe next. That could be, again, a very good match. Depends on how they lay it out.
This is kind of like the measuring stick for him, in my opinion, because...
Yeah.
The Lindemann match, you got the great moment. It's almost like a cheat code. Like, the match was fine for what it was. I didn't think it was that special. The Saito match was good, but it could have been better. Like, when you see the names, in my opinion. And this match, I really liked. I may be on an island on this one, like the Iwamoto one. But this is a measuring stick now. You're facing Abe, one of the best wrestlers in all of Japan and all of the world. If you can't get it done here and you don't have a great match, I think it may be time to move on.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, all the stuff on the show. We had this.
Also, Iwamoto looks like he's done. Looks like he's done for a little while.
He's not announced for the next set of
junior
matches.
He posted on Twitter that he was out.
Okay, I see. Mm. What a weird way to come back.
Yeah, I know a lot of people thought that it might be more longer term, but got in, got out. Well, you still could, I guess.
Maybe this wrestling thing is just not anymore anything that he wants to do.
He wasn't able to do, like, the tournament you were, he was in, he was fine. Like, everybody was about the same level. Like, all good, no great. This match, like I said, I liked it, but you know, overall, clearly it didn't touch people the way it could have.
I guess so. Yeah. So the rest of the show, we had this atrocious Current Blast death match.
Worst match of the year level.
It's incredible. It is absolutely incredible how bad this was. Yeah. We
on the second match of the poor Sakurai, like the sole young guy in this match against people that are like literally in their 80s. This brother needed oxygen after this
poor
match.
Guy. Yeah, yeah.
Kojika, like he needed oxygen after a 10-minute match.
I mean, they strangled him with the chain.
I mean, he really sold that one well. But yeah, this is not. Have we not moved past the need for Onita in our wrestling?
It's crazy how he always shoehorns himself on these big All Japan shows and how he shoehorns himself onto DDT shows. This guy really knows who has skeleton in their closets, apparently.
He's Mr. Liar. Like, he's a worker through and through.
He's the All Asia champion once again, right?
True.
Mm-hmm. That's where we are again with the All Asia Tag title. Well, one more notable thing on this show. Two more notable things, of course. First, the last matches for Black Mensorei and Shuji Ishikawa. I thought it was a very good opening match. I think they worked hard, especially Black Mensorei worked really hard to get Ryo Inoue over in this match. Shuji did his deal too with Ayabe, so nice way for them to go out. Shuji Ishikawa is back with DDT. He's going to be in the King of DDT. He's wrestling on the Team Noah produce show in February. So he's going to stay freelance probably for a moment. There was an interview with him posted on Tokyo Sports, and you could really see how sad he is that he is leaving All Japan now. And it really feels like that he feels he has to leave because this isn't the place for him anymore. But this was the place he wanted to be. He wanted to be in All Japan Pro Wrestling all this time. He felt like a guy that would fit the company, and he ultimately did fit the company. Fit very well, had a great tag team with Zuwama, had a solid run, very short run, I think, as Triple Crown champion. I'm just looking at it. Yeah, just 98 days. Didn't really work out for him as Triple Crown champion, but he always was a very, very solid guy for the company. Behind the scenes, of course, was very important. We talked about that. He is going on to different paths. Black Mensorei, we really don't know what he is up to right now. I could imagine him following others to Osaka Pro 2. That would be a fit for him. Like I said, Ryo Inoue looked good here, almost got the win over Black Mensorei. He, in the end, got close to it. Ayabe remains to be seen where he is going to go in the next coming months. They only announced a couple of matches for the next tour, so Ayabe was not announced yet for a... Let's see. Or was he? I've got the cards right in front of me. Oh, yeah. He was announced for the New Age Chronicles Z show. On the 8th of February, but nothing after that. So we'll see about him in All Japan. Yeah, Shuji Ishikawa, Dylan. What do you think about him?
He's big, man. He is a tall guy.
Fact.
He could sing karaoke, and that could be where his future holds.
The big dog. He's returning. The dog is coming home.
You know, the one I feel the most sad for in all of this has to be the obvious choice, which is Irv. This guy is translating all of these interviews, and it has to be driving him nuts.
Yes.
On Twitter.
I have long linked out of all this trouble that is going on with All Japan, Actress Girls, whatever, Evolution. I can't anymore.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and this is the problem with it. As fans, okay, like, again, just me, my opinion, not a fact, just my opinion. I think the Evolution girls are much more talented than the Actress girls, and I like them better too.
Yeah,
but it's not that big of a deal overall. Like in my personal fandom of All Japan Pro Wrestling, like which one side comes on top in that. But think about it from Ishikawa's shoes.
Right.
Like you've spent all of this time training these people and all these resources into this Evolution deal, and then one day you get told, no, we're doing this other thing now with this promotion that is basically not does not respect kayfabe and has a bad, you know, bad reputation. So you, after putting all this effort in, are suddenly given the runaround and, according to him, not told about it. And which, again, is whose side is faulted, whose fault it is, I don't know. I wasn't there. You know, the big dog wasn't calling me up to talk to me about this when it was happening. But from the way he made it sound, I really understand why he would want to leave. Like, yeah.
Whatever you think about that, there definitely seem to be communication issues within the company. And that has led us to this point.
Exactly. Like, if there had been better communication, this whole thing could have been maybe a little bit different. I know Mensa Ray's still reffing the Evolution Girls shows as well. So, you know, it's just a terrible situation when you're kind of like, if you had just talked this out better, maybe this conclusion would have been different than we ended up reaching.
But it seemed really unavoidable at this point.
Yes, like I said, once they went with the Actress Girls, I think that was the end of the line. Like, I think that was the final straw for whatever happened to a lot of people, apparently. And there may be some people that this is just an easy, a convenient excuse as well.
But like I said, they've only announced some matches for the upcoming cards, and there is no Actress time announced. They've announced some junior matches. They've announced some more matches with Suwama and Hideki. And, of course, the title matches that we mentioned. Plus Hikaru Sato versus Minoru Suzuki.
We'll see what the future holds. Maybe there'll be a turnaround, like somebody who convinced them to bring the Evo girls back. You know, like I said, I liked them, but it's not like it made or broken my fandom of All Japan to see. Yeah. as much as I am a fan of Chi-Chi, like it's, you know, I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm sorry to say, but if you're Ishikawa, I understand it, and I hopefully for the big dog, he does bounce back. It looks like, and we know he is. He's obviously a respected veteran. I think that's about where he's going to be at in the near future. And we'll see how he does in DDT. And being in the tournament's a good spot for him to show what he's still got left in the tank. In All Japan, he aged himself down pretty gracefully, honestly. Like, he's a guy that, for a lot of the year, wasn't doing a lot. But when he was called upon for a big match, like the Nagata match last year in March, he delivered. And I think he could still deliver in the big matches. We'll see if there's any motivation left. I mean, he's nearing 50. He's a big guy. There's a lot of wear and tear on his body from the Big Japan days. The Union Pro days that he was at. Maybe that's what
people forget that he used to be deathmatch champion in Big Japan Pro Wrestling. And he had some horrific bumps there.
That's right. Maybe he'll show up there in the near future, get a little bit of a rousing reaction. I'm sure he'd be welcome back if he wanted to.
I think so, yeah.
Maybe he'll start Union Pro again.
Oh, yeah, why not?
Yeah, new rival on Wrestle Universe.
So the last bit of news from this show, we are finally getting the Suwama and Hideki Suzuki match after 2 months of the dysfunctional tag team. And once again, Dylan, the casualty here, like you said, was Hokuto Omori. He lost the match, and he was attacked by Suwama with his guardrail, and he smashed it over Hokuto's back. That looked so painful. And like, they're doing the match on the 20th between Suwama and Hideki, and then on the very next show, they have them team up again.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. I knew about the singles match.
Yeah, they are actually the second to next show. They are having the match on the 20th, and on the 24th, there is a match, Suwama, Hideki Suzuki, and Hikaru Sato versus Ryukyu Honda, Yuma Anzai, and Rising Hayato. Could that be just a red herring? And could there be the quote-unquote Nakajima invasion being a part of that?
Who is the mastermind?
Who is the mastermind? Is Hideki the mastermind?
He was the mastermind of it all.
He's the true Inokiist.
Yeah, he was an IGF veteran, Hideki. I don't know. Like, the thing is, the All Japan, the Mastermind stuff is so confusing that I don't have a positive nor negative opinion of it, other than I think it's stupid. Like, I don't know what they're planning. I'm totally confused by it, and I think it's really dumb, but I don't understand enough to say that it's an outright negative so far. And the truth is, despite all of the people leaving, all of the doom posting in the past about WWE, all of the actress girls meddling, there's no evidence that it's really had an effect on their shows from a quality perspective or from a drawing perspective, which were both up. Like, this show was better than last year at the same time. So until I see that, I'm going to try and go with the flow, so to speak, on all of this craziness that's going on overall.
Like you said, videos are funny. They are intriguing.
Nakajima's were. The actress girls weren't.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's true. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. There could be something cooking here, because that feels to me like a red herring, much like I said. They've announced the singles match, and then immediately some tag matches after that. Can see them shuffling the card around after the singles match is done in Korakuen.
Why couldn't they just pin Doi? Like, in that match, like, why did it have to be Hokuto? Have Sato pin
Naoki Doi isn't doing jobs.
Have Sato and Minoru brawl or something to set up their singles match if you wanted to do that. Like, you could have done something like besides this. Hideki and Suwama, I don't like their tag team very much. So I'm glad that they're blowing this off. Hopefully blowing off. Like you said, they announced more tag matches. Hideki, the champion carnival, I'm very happy and excited for, if that is to come to pass. I think he meant a lot to the N1 a couple of years ago when he went to the final and was the MVP of that tournament. I think he could very well do the same now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you look at the interviews, Suwama is not coming across well in many of them. A lot of people seem like they don't think much of his actions in all of this. And it's a tough situation, man. Suwama's been here for, God, you know, almost 20 years at this point, you know.
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
He debuted in 2004.
His only company that he's ever known. He got recruited when he was very young. You know, I get where the other guys are coming from, but I also have some sympathy towards him. Like, being this is all he knows, pretty much. So to react these ways makes somewhat sense.
Yeah, it's
sense.
His company.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, he's going to side with stuff like this. As a wrestler, I haven't liked their team very much, though. So I hope that they just break off and let Hideki do other stuff.
If they don't break off, if they don't shuffle cards around it, and I have some bad news. Yeah, I have some bad news for you, because on the same day in Kyoto, when they do the world tag team title match, they have Suwama and Hideki against Ryukyu Honda and Yuma Anzai.
Yeah. They can pin Honda. Like, you know,
sure, they can, and they can just challenge the tech champions after that.
Well, there's no other team, really, that they beat Kento and Yuma again at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I don't like them as a team, ultimately. Like, that's my issue with them, just as a fan. I wish that Hideki would do stuff on his own away from Suwama.
Yeah, I agree. One more thing that I'm looking at the cards. Seki Yoshioka is coming in for this tour.
It's oh, okay.
Irv mentioned that on his Twitter too. Yoshioka was supposed to debut for All Japan Pro Wrestling before the Wrestle One split in 2013. They had this shot of Kasayashi, Hanzo, Seki Yoshioka's trainer, and Yoshioka in front of the All Japan logos. And Yoshioka was supposed to debut, but then the Wrestle One split happened. He went to Wrestle One with Muto. And from there to Pro Wrestling Noah, but now he left Noah. He had a match for 0-1 on January 1st, and now he's in for some tag matches on the Excite series. So I think he could be a good fit for the junior division.
I think you're missing the lead on this, okay? Like, everything you said was true, but what about the other person they're bringing in?
Brother Yashi, baby.
Brother Yashi, exactly. And Voodoo Murder's original. Right. So is that the invasion? The return of Voodoo
Murder? Oh, yes.
To All Japan. Suwama was the mastermind all along.
Imagine.
Well, they tried something very similar last year, so I don't have to imagine it.
That's right.
And it sucked, so I don't want it. Seki, though, great wrestler, always thought he was so underpushed in Noah. I really hope that they do something with him. And he brings something a little different to the table, and I think that helps them. They've done a little bit better as time has come along with guys like Atsuki and Rising Hayato. Out of everybody, I think he might be benefiting the most out of this craziness with the president and all of that, because he's used it as a part of his gimmick to rip on the president and talk about it like, no, forget the executives, believe in me. And he like gave his pose. You know, they gave him that time in the middle of the ring. I like what Hayato's been doing as a character lately. But he's a high-flying guy. Seki Oshoka, very good mix, where he can do a little bit of everything. I think he's a unique style to the division. Someone like Dan, we talked about it earlier, he's a guy that's a little bit limited in terms of just moveset and exciting big high spots and stuff. You might want to have a guy opposite that's really flashy, and I think Yoshioka can be that, but also not be the high flyer that like Atsuki is. Like, he's got a different style all his own. So I'm a huge fan of Seki Yoshioka. Very happy that he gets this spot, and I hope that he has some success. He really deserves it after all of the work he's put in the last decade.
Yes. So, I think that's mostly it for All Japan Pro Wrestling. By the way, I totally agree with you on Seki Yoshioka. The cool. New Age Chronicle Z show on February 8th is already sold out. Interesting main event setup with Rising Hayato and X against Den Tamura and Hayato Tamura. Once again, the Tamura's return as tag team.
Yeah, that's so true. So who's Hayato? Like, who's another Hayato we can team with?
Or another Tamura.
Or another Tamura, yeah, okay. Mm.
Kiyoshi Tamura.
I don't listen. Keep the working relationship between Glate and All Japan very alive.
There is Hidap Tamura, of course. He could be joining.
Okay.
Except for that, there is. I don't think there is any more Tamura around these days.
What about? Here's what you forgot to mention on the show, Striga. In a way, going for the title, the TV title.
Yes.
Tachibana.
For the Gaara TV title, yes.
Could actually be
a pretty good match.
Yeah. Sega looked good in the tag team matches.
He did?
Yeah.
The Gaara TV title is whatever.
I can't believe Kento isn't challenging for it after he pinned him in the match.
Do you think the Gaara TV title is beneath Kento?
I mean, they told you it was, unfortunately, on this show. You want to, you know, the Gaara is not respected as a TV network enough for Kento, apparently.
In my opinion, there wouldn't be a better face for TV than Kento Miyahara.
The Kobashi Award winner on the Eastern Lariat Awards, the MVP of wrestling, according to the people.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really hyped for Inoue to get a big singles match, though, in all honesty. I really like him as a wrestler.
Yeah.
I think that match is going to maybe open some people's eyes to both men. I think Sego looked good in the tag matches. This is a chance. And if Inoue could get a big win like this and get the title, I think that'll be a great step forward, because I do think he's about ready to get out of the jobber category he's in right now.
Yeah, so four matches announced for Kurikan on the 20th. Hideki Suzuki versus Suwama. Suwama, Gaara TV title, Sego Tachibana against Ryo Inoue. Dan Tamura defends the junior title against Fuminori Abe, and Triple Crown Nakajima versus Rei Saito. So really looking good for these singles matches.
Yep.
Yeah, let us turn our attention to DDT. We had Sweet Dreams in Kurikan Hall drawing. I think this is the best attendance DDT has gotten in a long time in Kurikan. 1,120 fans. I think it was been a long time since they broke the 1,000 barrier in that building. I'm not sure, but could be looking that up. In the main event, Yuki Ueno got his first defense of the KOD open weight title over Yukio Naya, 23 minutes, 35 seconds with a twister. And we also had another singles match on the card. Dylan, Konosuke Takeshita came in to defeat Naoki Doi, of all people, in 11 minutes with a brutal knee strike. Out of these two singles matches, what did you like better?
Yeah, you know, I thought of the two, when you look at it, I think both of them had their strengths and weaknesses. I wouldn't say either were great, to be honest with you, but I think of the two, I actually liked the main event a little bit more, actually.
I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was just more interesting, in my opinion, to see what they did. The other match, it was like, it was what it was. It was what it was going to be. You knew what it was going to be. And it was what we knew it would be. So I think that... You like how I said that, didn't you?
I do.
Yes. But, you know, ultimately, Takeshita Doi, you knew Takeshita was going to win. He was going to have the advantage for most of the match. Doi was here doing his thing, getting a nice spot for him. And you said he doesn't do jobs, but little did you know.
Yes. I also did the job too for Dentabura, so that was unfair.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to Konosuke Takeshita, all caps.
All caps.
Yeah, he does not. He is the one that refuses to job around here.
Well, of course, he's an AEW.
Yeah, Big Tony will not allow it. But
and
it
was
good.
That's the reason why I think they put Doi against him.
Yeah, me too.
The idea clearly has to be that Takeshita, he is in a singles match and he has value being in a singles match, but you can't just throw another DDT guy to Takeshita.
Yeah, and you know, the natural story would be him and Ueno. But they can't do that because they'd have to lose the title.
And that's the reason why they didn't Brooks and Takeshita in the end last year.
Yeah. Yeah, same deal. You know, like, you know, you cannot put the title on him, so you have to not put him in title matches.
but realistically, like, he should challenge next.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
Who came out? Dino.
Yeah, and like all the story makes sense for Takeshita to challenge for the title. Like you said, it's just they can't because of other issues.
Feels so awkward, really.
And that's why the next big match he's going to have is going to be against another non-DDT guy in Aoyagi. I wish that singles match had been in All Japan. I think they just switched the tag and singles matches around. I think it would have been more interesting that way. And in some ways, at least you could kind of trick yourself into thinking Aoyagi might win that match in his home promotion. But yeah, the main event was really good. Again, I didn't think it was like this unbelievable like performance or anything, but I thought they both worked really well together. Ueno had a lot of fire. I really liked what he brought to the table here. Made Naya look better by selling a lot of his big offense.
Yeah, he really did. This backdrop, man. Oh, this wrist clutch backdrop. I thought they wasted the kick out.
Yeah, me too.
Because I really think, because whenever there is a wrist clutch version of any move, it has to be a finish in Japanese pro wrestling. That's a given.
And Akiyama's right there, the OG wrist clutch exploder guy. Exactly. Did you not learn?
Yeah.
But Naya looked good. I thought this was the best he's looked.
I agree.
You know, and I think Ueno was a big part of that as well. But Naya totally delivered his end of the bargain. They had a good match here. Went a good amount of time, not too long. You know, just under 25 minutes. So it felt like a big match for DDT. And I liked it. Yeah, I liked the match. Again, it wouldn't be... I thought that the singles matches in All Japan were better than this one, but only slightly. I know I'm the only one who agrees about the junior match, so it's okay.
I want to say about this match, I really liked the idea of them was that they threw so many bombs at one another, especially, of course, Naya with his backdrops, that both of them, after almost 20 minutes, they failed to really get an ultimate pinfall. Like Naya, for example, after this wrist touch exploder, he struggled to get Ueno on his back to cover him. That was the one out they had. Ueno struggled too because he was so worn down from the match. That was a good idea for them. But sometimes, in comparison to the All Japan matches you mentioned, sometimes they struggle to string it together to have the match be deeper than, yeah, we have the next big move, and then there's the next big move, and we are worn down because of that. Sometimes they struggle with that. And of course, these two, Yuki Naya is not young, but he is young in a sense of being a top singles wrestler. Ueno is still young in his career. But what I really liked is it Ueno that did the singles match with Shinya Aoki back 1 or 2 years ago?
Oh yeah, Aoki had a couple of singles matches.
I think
he might have.
And that's, I think, I'm just quickly looking that up, if he had a singles match with Shinya Aoki.
Nope.
No, he actually did not. Oh, then I was making stuff up. I was making stuff up because I thought that the finish was actually inspired. The finish of it, it was a submission hold, was inspired from the Aoki match, but I made stuff up. That's okay. It was still a good finish because it came off this complete wear and tear in the match, and it had to be something else than the other stuff they threw at each other.
Yeah.
And Naya just had to tap out. Very good stuff, I thought.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I've seen mixed reactions to the finish itself. But I agree with you, actually. Like, I liked it, too. It was something different. Maybe it wasn't as perfectly executed as, an MMA specialist, but I still thought it worked in the context of this match overall. And it made him look like a really cool and resilient champion, that he could pull something out of the hat like this to beat a bigger guy, do something a little bit different. And I thought it made Naya look good for having to make him resort to that as well. And I like Naya continuing to make improvements in the ring.
Yes.
And I think that they did it. Like, this match was perfectly successful in what it wanted to accomplish on all factors. So I give it up to them both. And I thought it was a good main event for DDT as well. And Ueno, I really like what I've seen of him as champion. He's another one. When he won the belt, I wasn't really on board with him. I thought he had some questions to answer. But so far, like, we're still, again, it's relatively early. We've got a couple of months now coming up on the third month of his reign. But I think so far, he's been a good champion. I like what he's brought to the table.
What does he need to pull out of the hat against Dan Shokudino next?
And this is where it all comes crashing down. Like, man, Dino is the challenger. It's like, I struggle with this because ultimately this stuff is a part of the DNA of the company, like itself.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't like it, though.
So the question is, why does it still have to be Dino? I mean, Dino was a guy that could challenge 10 years ago.
But yeah,
in the meantime, they could have built up other cult favorites they could put in these matches.
Even 5 years ago, he main evented Peter Pan that one year.
Yeah, that's right.
Against Daisuke Sasaki.
That's correct.
Got on the cover of Weekly Pro in a controversial way. Who else could do Dino besides Dino in the company?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe nobody can.
Yeah. There you go. Like, there's the answer.
There's the answer. But still, though,
it's just not what we want.
Yeah, we've done it over and over. And I get it. It's probably going to be successful again with the fan base. Just not for me, just not for you. Yeah. They're doing the title match in Shinjuku Face, by the way, not even in Korakuen.
Oh, well, that doesn't even matter. That doesn't tell you all. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Exactly. Just moving on from that.
Yeah,
Mao recently faced Brian Keith to defend his Universal title. I really liked that match that had this.
Yeah, me too.
Really great bump, the exploder onto the ring, the ring post, basically. He kissed the ring post. That looked devastating.
Oh, yeah. I'm a huge Brian Keith fan. Like, one of the best on the indies. One of the best entrance themes. Got that Mike Jones on the entrance theme. Love it. Still tipping. Love when he comes on AEW. They still play it anyway. Good stuff there. I don't know who got the rights, but this seemed like something, a dream for him. To wrestle in Japan. He's knocking this out of the way before he signs because they would be stupid not to sign him. And I thought this was like, he's had crazier matches, like, you know, or do more spectacular ones. But I thought just in terms of wrestling, like as a wrestler, this was probably his best match to me.
Yeah.
Like just in the ring. I thought he looked really good. It worked off of Keith really well. And the guys that you wouldn't expect to have great chemistry right off the bat, but I thought they really brought it together. And I thought he'd more than held up his end of the bargain. A legit great match. I thought I really enjoyed that.
It was. When was it actually on the show? On the 21st? Yeah, on the 21st it was. Has a very low rating, actually, 6.8 on Cage Match. I thought it was way better.
Oh, me too. I thought that was better than these matches on the show, personally.
Yeah, you could make the point. Unfortunately, Brian Keith was with Damnation on the show. What was really great, though, I thought, was the Yukio Sakaguchi versus Hideki Okatani match. They just jumped at one another. From the get-go, Yukio eventually got the win with the right knee. Great stuff here. Okatani looked really great when he got had his firing up sequences. Sakaguchi was just a killer. This, I think, was a success all over because they just wanted to do this 5-minute blowout.
Yeah, this really is going to depend on the follow-up for me because it was entertaining as it was. Like you said, they did good in the ring. This could be a pivotal turning point for Okatani in his career. Mm-hmm. Like, Yukio basically destroyed him in this match. Like, it was very much a beating here. And Okatani, like you said, got to show a little bit of heart. But for the most part, Yukio just beat the crap out of him. So, from that perspective, this should lead to Okatani taking a step forward in an evolution in his own right. And if they could do that, then I think that this match will hold up very kindly historically. And just, it was entertaining no matter what. Again, I thought they did a great job for what they wanted to do. But I really hope that they use this kind of match for Okatani's future.
I think they will.
Yeah.
I don't have any doubts about that because the guy is really very talented. I said the other day on Twitter that I thought Okatani would be a great addition to Burning now that Endo is reforming Burning and has gotten Yuki Ino in. But then again, I think Sondre, it was, said that he would also be a good fit for Hari Mao, Higuchi's group. Then again, when was the last time, let's see, that Hari Mao actually teamed? It was on December 12th on the Basara show.
They need something in this group.
They need something. Ishida is injured, I think.
Yeah.
He's injured. He's out injured. Yoshimura is out injured. So Hari Mao needs something, yeah.
And the thing is, Ishida's really talented, but he's just like inconsistent in terms of the usage. And unfortunately, this time it's because of injury. Mm-hmm. But I like his game a lot, though. I think he's got a great future. All these DDT guys are good. Like, you know, at the end of the day, like, they're all young. They don't do anything with them. It's just how it goes, the DDT. And I'm sure that it'll continue for Okatani and the rest.
What would you think about him reforming with Higuchi?
That could be a cool little story. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, everybody left him, but yep. There's the one guy who's still around. Can they hook up again? I think they could. That would help Higuchi as well. He's another guy that's not exactly doing a lot right now. Give them a little bit of a run. I would love to see that. I think they could be a great team together, and I think it would be a really cool thing if they could do that. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah, the Harimaro idea is very good. Yes, so what else on this show? The DDT Extreme title, they had a funny stipulation here with Toei Kojima being the deciding factor in the match. They had some skits with him backstage. First, he had to overcome a tickling challenge. He did not. Then they had this... situation with the pirate, this toy pirate, and in the end, what's the game called that he succeeded at? I'm not sure. Definitely Shuma Katsumata defeated Katsuki Hirata with a horizontal cradle, and then in the end it was a skit backstage that led to him getting the extreme title. There was a very, very much a DDT match. I have it here. It's the Kendama, of course, yes. He caught the ball with the Kendama, which led to Katsumata winning the Extreme title. No comment from Dylan.
I've loved all of Hirata's matches. I think it's good that it ended with this one, because I think this is the first one that kind of jumped the shark for me a little bit.
I get that, yeah.
Like, you know, like, and the thing is, all of the other ones were amazing. Like, some of the best comedy matches by far that they've ever done in DDT to me. This one, I don't know. It just, something about this didn't really work for me overall as much as the other ones. Again, I get it. And the moment where he caught the ball in the cup was very amusing. The look on his face.
Yes.
That kind of won me over.
Kojima is great.
Yeah, Kojima kind of won me over when he got the ball in the cup, finally. And it was amusing at the end. But the other ones were like laugh out loud, hilarious, and I loved them. This, I thought, I kind of was like waiting for it to end. And they brought it together with a heartwarming moment. I think Shunma is the right person to carry on this title. And hopefully they do big things in the future.
Yes. There's nothing really more that we can discuss on this show. Daisuke Sasaki and Cannon recently beat Roman Dawn for the tag title.
Atrocious match. I thought that match sucked so much.
I agree. Man. Yeah, that's the DT show. What we have coming up is they announced the entrance for the King of DDT tournament. That's the 20th one that they are doing. They are bringing in former winners of the tournament, Poison Sawada Julie, 2004
yes.
winner.
Where is Michelle? Poison Sawada Julie is back.
Yes.
And we needed this old school ProRes and DDT people, which includes all of us.
All of
Poison
us.
Poison Sawada Julie now has returned. Yes. One of the OG DDT guys back when I first started watching. To see him back is unbelievable that they're doing this, but I'm very happy for it.
Did Mikami ever win? I think he did not.
He's not in the tournament.
No, he did not.
So there you go. These are the rules. If they're not in the tournament, they didn't win.
That's right.
Even if they won, they still don't count as winners. So if they're not in the tournament, that's how this goes.
So the others are Zanshiro Takagi, 2009 finalist, Tanjoku Dino, 2012 finalist, Harashima, of course, won 2010, 2013, 2017 finalist, and Shuji Ishikawa, like we mentioned. They've all been announced. And then we have Kase Takeshi's debut match on February 25. They had to add seats to Kuroken Hall because of his debut. He is a Japanese performer, bodybuilder, actor, and now a professional wrestler, of course. And his debut is going to be him teaming with Yuki Ueno and Shuma Katsumata against Tetsuya Endo, Hideki Okatani, and Takeshi Masada. Should be a good match.
Bringing in the big stars for DDT here.
Yeah, that's interesting. Where do you stand with the DDT now?
Like I said, I like Ueno's title reign. I've loved Hirata's title reign throughout it, even though it's coming to an end now. The young guys are always fun to watch in the openers. They've got a lot of talented guys. Like I said, they don't really go anywhere with them, but I still like watching them wrestle. That's about it. Overall, it's not a great company, in my opinion, but they're doing all right.
I really like the direction they're going with the Extreme title and the KOD title, and also with the Universal title. I want to say all three titles are held by great champions, Mao, Shuma Katsumata, and Yuki Ueno. I think they're doing very good for themselves. And
fresher talent, too, which I think is important for them as well.
Absolutely. The one thing is the tag title and the six-man tag title, they are always hit and miss.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on the teams that holds them, we have now Akayama, Dino, and Oishi as the six-man champions, and of course, Damnation again as tag champions. That's always hit and miss, but the singles titles are in a very good position. I think they are building up Naya strongly. When they can get Konosuke Takeshita, he's definitely a needle mover for them. We can see that on this Kurikan Auto. And yeah, it depends where they go with the likes of Toi Kojima and Hideki Okatani.
They've set building blocks for good stuff in the future. I'll give you that. They're still early in all of these title reigns as well. So I wouldn't say that they're all great right now. But so far, the results have been promising for Mao and
great guys holding the title.
Yeah, and, even then, I don't agree with that, to be honest. But I will say Ueno's been a good champion so far. And Shunma, I like a lot. I'm glad he's back from injury. Mao, I praised his match earlier. Let's not say he's great. I gave him his props earlier. Right. That's as far as I'll go.
All right. Yeah. That is as much as I had for this show, Adila. Any closing remarks on your side?
Just hope everybody had fun enjoying the show, watching some of this stuff too. Always big stuff coming ahead. New Japan's going to take some spotlight in February. They've got some big shows coming up. We'll get on that. We're not going to let it slide forever. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. You get all kinds of stuff on these shows. More Joshi coverage is going to take a big step up. Coming forward, TJPW got the tag tournament going on there. Stardom's going to have some shows coming up in Feb. And we'll see what goes on there. Follow the Instagram. Always putting up the awards. You get some history facts when it comes to Japanese pro wrestling day of stuff. Every day you learn something, or maybe you don't learn something, but at least it's kind of fun to remember some of these things. Or maybe, It's a lot of cool stuff there. I dig deep sometimes in some of the Instagram historical posts as well. I don't just pick the obvious stuff. I always try to make it good. So hopefully everybody checks that out. Check out the Patreon. Thank you to everybody who voted in the award. Still got a lot of love for all of that. Very happy with the award winners, the Hall of Fame, all that. Can't wait to talk about more of the news coming up. And hopefully, again, everybody continues joining us along for the ride. And I thank you so much for listening.
Wait. I remembered one more thing I wanted to address before we go.
Oh, Dylan. Yeah, go on.
I watched the January 2nd Big Japan show.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, really liked the main event between Yuya Aoki and Leighton Buzzard. I thought Buzzard looked very good. He's the guy that if they bring him back, he could really be a great foreigner for the company. They had him in a junior title match a couple of months ago, and now in the strong title match against Yuya Aoki. Great finishing sequence, too, once again with the champion. So that was a very good match, rated 8.26 on Cage Match. And of course, also Kosuke Sato finally made his comeback in Big Japan after 18 months on the shelf.
Yeah.
Teamed with Daisuke Sekimoto, teaming against the Astronauts. The Kurken crowd was behind him immediately. They chanted for him along the way. Good to see him back. And it looks like that he could be the one taking the junior title from Enda Kara eventually.
I hope so. He deserves it. I really loved his run before he had the injury. One of the most enjoyable parts of a kind of a dark period for the company overall. Aoki is a fantastic wrestler, in my opinion. I think he was great in that match, really carried Leighton Buzzard in the early goings of it, where they really took a more technical style, and I thought those guys worked really hard. Great effort, which is really what can really get you through that, and Buzzard held up his end of the bargain well in that match for sure. But Aoki, I continue to be impressed by every time I see him. That guy is a great champion. It's somebody that deserves a lot of roses. He's in a spot where it's tough. You know, in Big Japan, there's just not a lot of eyes on him anywhere, really. Like, even in Japan, a lot of their shows are kind of low attended. But it's not his fault at all. He is a great wrestler and deserves a lot of buzz. I hope that he can get more love and more great title matches. Again, against a guy who was not, like, you know, well-known great match king or anything like that, but he performed well and did a great job in the match, and I really liked what they brought to the table there. So good stuff there, and I can't wait to see what Aoki does next as champion. And Kosuke Sato, was a huge fan of his again when I was probably at my lowest point with them. I thought he was the bright spot of the company, so hopefully he can get a good run. That could be some really good things going forward for them in the future.
Absolutely. So yeah, that is the final thing I wanted to get in here. You were about to close the show, Dylan. Let's do that right now. So thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.